CliffCentral.com.
It's probably about time we get some global perspective on property, wealth, what the most important indicators are there. And Knight Frank have crunched the numbers, done some thorough research to release their 13th edition of the Wealth Report. So, and sitting with me is Richard Hardy, who's the CEO of Knight Frank South Africa. Richard, nice to see you.
Morning.
This is a fascinating report. I have the entire thing in front of me now. It reveals all kinds of things about wealth, about spending, about luxury. Are there any top line things that we need to be aware of, things that we need to be worried about maybe before we even start going into the more interesting revelations deep in the report?
Yeah, I was going to launch into whiskey, but we'll wait for that one because that is one of the highlights of the Wealth Report this year from an investment perspective. Is there anything to worry about?
Well, those top line indicators.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've recently been to London for our global conference, which brought 175 of us from 53 of the countries that we represent out of 60. And it was fascinating because the world has generally slowed down. But I think what comes out of it, and especially for us as a brand, because we do deal in luxury, is that the rich are getting richer.
Mm-hmm. And there are more rich people than there have ever been.
And that's increasing. And, you know, when you look at high net worth, that's, you know, $1 million in assets. But when we classify an ultra high net worth, that's $30 million.
Sure.
Dollars. So, but it's the Wealth Report is fascinating because it tracks wealth around the world, and even more so now, especially with social media and platforms like Twitter, et cetera, you know, you can really track where people are moving. But yeah, I mean, look, you know, let's get the sort of nitty gritty out of the way. Basically, you know, the world has slowed down. Property has slowed down, but markets, you know, they have their downturns, they have their upturns. So where, you know, somewhere like, you know, Dubai at the moment has had a poor market. South Africa's had a poor market for sort of 18 months. You know, there are other opportunities like Romania, mm-hmm. Which has seen huge growth. And then there's also other African countries, especially the North African countries, and then places like Asia as well.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that London is still the world's most important city to the wealthy, despite Brexit.
New York
comes up second, then Hong Kong, Singapore, and Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, London, you know, I think you've got to look at London and lifestyle. It's one of those places that the sort of joke of it is that actually, you know, London has actually been a bit of a tax haven for many of the wealthy, and I think still remains to be as well. But it's culture as well. You know, you can go there and the culture that you get, the lifestyle that you get, it's still an amazing city. And, you know, that still draws people in.
Does South Africa feature at all in terms of wealth and luxury?
It does. I mean, we're very lucky. There's quite a key focus on Cape Town, just because that's where our primary offices are. And actually, looking into 2019, they mentioned European cities, but then they also actually bring up Cape Town as a hotspot for 2019. And I think having now got the elections out the way as well, once we go into the end of this year, when we start to see the international buyers coming back, and then the sort of the interest from people like Joburg, who still work up here, but they like to have that lifestyle where they commute and their families and their kids might go to school in Cape Town, I think we'll really start to see that grow again. But yeah, look, there's plenty of wealthy South Africans.
Oh, yeah.
And what we tend to find is that they like to actually still have a home here. They like to still call South Africa home, but they just want to diversify their investments, assets, have something in Europe for their kids when they get older, you know, just securing something for their kids in the future.
There's fascinating stuff in the report. You've also got a big interview. You've decided to go into the world of sneakers, which is interesting. And you speak to Jochen Zeitz in the interview. He's obviously more than that. But there's stuff here that I thought was pretty interesting about private jets and super yachts.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever we think wealth, we think, you know, anybody who has significant wealth has to get themselves a yacht or a jet, or they're not really wealthy. Is that still the case?
I think so.
and how many yachts and jets are we talking about here, and where are the main ports of call for these yachts and jets?
Well, look, I mean, you've got your places like sort of your Monacos, of course, but you know, the jet statistics for South Africa are fairly healthy. Once again, I said there's a lot of very wealthy people in South Africa, and there's a lot of people also traveling between African countries as well. I mean, you made reference to Zeit before, but also Richard Branson's in there, and there's an amazing article, and all of this is online, which is great because people can go and pick the articles out where they want. But there's a really great article about the Tompkins family who basically bought 11 farms together and have, it's called Born to Rewild.
Right.
And they basically just took barren land and have turned it into a conservation area.
Conservancy, yeah.
Yeah, and it's articles like that are just amazing, and it shows that investment in Africa. And it's not just all about property. Mm. You know, it's also about people investing into countries, landscapes that they believe in. And then, you know, towards the end, it talks, I'll show you, there's an index about what certain things are doing around the world, whether it's property, wine, jewelry, whiskey. You know, there's an index of how those have grown in popularity or not.
You know, it's interesting. You take these super wealthy people, people whose wealth is over $30 million that you spoke of earlier. The US obviously dominates heavily there. They've got by far the most, 47,327 people, according to this. Now, I was curious because I looked at, you know, we always talk about Russian oligarchs, for example. Russia's super wealthy, only 1,500 of them. And that means they're smaller than Taiwan, for example, at 1,700. Mm. And so there's a lot of perception versus reality stuff that we need to check here. Germany is enormous. Japan, China, the UK obviously is in there as well. But when you come to Africa, South Africa and then a group that you've said is other. But South Africa is still the biggest in Africa when it comes to the super wealthy, right?
Yeah, and it will remain the hub as well.
Interesting. We've got 661 odd people in South Africa who are considered super wealthy.
And that's a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. Where in the world do you think these flows, these capital flows and these wealth flows are going? Because we've spoken quite a lot about the dragons, the crazy rich Asians, the people in Singapore and in Hong Kong, for example. Are those still areas that are seeing growth and kind of an establishment wealth starting to accrue?
They are, very much so. So the Asia markets are very interesting, and they're definitely seeing growth. But then there's also your sort of Scandinavian markets as well, because people are looking at those markets for sort of stability. And, you know, that also extends over into the likes of Switzerland as well. So a lot of very wealthy people are looking for stability. But at the same time, when you're talking $30 million minimum, of course, remember, there's a lot of people with a lot more money than that.
Sure.
And even the people who've got $1 million in assets, you know, that is also still a lot of money. And to bring it back to South Africa, which, you know, I think most people are interested in, you know, when they look, and that you'll see another, there's another index there called the Piri Index, and it shows you what you get per square meter around the world, and Cape Town is the second on that table
for
value for money. So when they come here, they still see it as value for money, despite locally we might say, oh, have you seen the prices of properties in Johannesburg or Cape Town, and can't believe that penthouse in Durban has gone for that much. You know, they still come over here, and I've noticed that recently, is that those people have started coming back here, and they do see value for money. They go, but it's still so cheap, so we can afford to take a little bit of risk, because they still perceive it as a bit of a risk, but they come here, they fall in love with it, and they can afford to buy a second, a third,
and they do
spend a fourth home, which isn't for investment, it's just there for them to use when they come over.
Now, what's interesting is not just the property stuff, as you mentioned, but there are all kinds of other objects that desire the Knight Frank Luxury Investment Index is very interesting. You talk about things that people consider collector's items, people consider investment items. So jewelry's gone down quite considerably. And we've seen things like the Marie Antoinette pearl pendant that didn't sell. Mm-hmm. And when it did sell eventually, they got a very low price for it compared to what they were expecting. Stamps are sort of stagnant. Colored diamonds are stagnant. Furniture's just up a little bit. Cars are up a little bit more than that. Watches, then art, then wine, interestingly enough, then coins. But the biggest growth is in whiskey.
Yeah.
So let's talk about whiskey. You wanted to get into whiskey. Tell me about this.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to start with. If we'd been on later, we could have brought some in for you. Yeah, no, it's a fascinating one. I mean, a bottle of Macallan and single malt sold for $1.5 million US dollars, which is staggering.
Incredible.
And it's, once again, this market is very much being driven by the Asian market. And, you know, private jets have been seen to be landing in Scotland and whisked off, and those investments are being made. And I guess it's one of those things that, you know, everything goes through periods. You know, there's, as you said, you've art, wine, et cetera, but whiskey has almost been found. And I think the thing about whiskey is, how long has it been sat in a barrel for? You know, how long has it been in that bottle for? Is it 20 years old? Is it 50 years old? And yeah, and that's the latest interest from the globally wealthy.
And what about people that aren't necessarily flashy about their wealth? I mean, people who have lots and lots of money, but they don't tell you how much they have. There are ways for people to hide how wealthy they are. They might not own shares that are on the stock market that are disclosed. They might not have companies that they started that are mm-hmm. that are listed. They may have assets that they keep in quiet places. Do we know anything about these individuals?
Look, Knight Frank certainly does, because of its connections and the research that it has and the years that it's been doing this. But you're absolutely right. Those sorts of people, and actually I lived in Guernsey for 8 years, and that's a low tax jurisdiction. And there's lots of people who are, for example, there under the radar, and a lot of those people are very untraceable. You know, you can't go onto Google and find anything about them. So they do keep themselves lying very low, and whether it's Guernsey, Jersey, or it's out in the Caribbean, you know, there are those many people who choose that sort of lifestyle. But there's an interesting article in there, bit of research now through Twitter, and using geolocations, mm-hmm. they can track people based on their social media as well, and where they are, where they post from, where they are in the world and how they move. So, you know, they might have their resident country, but where are they spending their holiday? So they go down to Monaco and they use social media. Well, instantly you can track where somewhere is. So there are now advanced ways, as you know, social media, as social media sort of grows, you know, you can almost track anyone around the world.
Yeah. And what about the things that wealthy people are investing in? What are they? What are they putting their money into in terms of where in the world they're putting it?
Well, do you know something? Wealthy people, most of them have always made their money out of property, and right. you always see these articles about, you know, is it still right to invest in property? But I can tell you now, the people who've got money will continue to invest in property, and they'll take advantage of the markets at their lows, and then they trade. And as I said, you know, they can afford to come and buy something in Cape Town, bit of a risk, but they'll still look at the key markets around the world, and they'll invest, and they'll just take advantage of where the market's at.
Is this an antidote to Oxfam's rich list, where they keep telling us about the Gini coefficient and how many poor people there are and how many rich people there are and how unfair it is? Is this sort of an unashamed look at how the other half lives? Not even half, but the other scattering of herbs on the top.
Yeah, I guess so, because at the end of the day, it's research into luxury wealth and investments. And this particular piece of research that Knight Frank does, and we're known for our research, and we look at all sorts of different research, even down to agriculture, city indexes. But this particular piece of research is about tracking the wealth, and it is fascinating. And you know, we need to know where that money's moving, because we need to know where the wealthy are investing.
Well, Knight Frank, if anyone wants to know, are a leading independent global property consultancy. They're headquartered in London, and they've got more than 18,000 people who are doing this research, operating from 523 offices in 60 territories. They advise clients ranging from individual owners and buyers to major developers, investors, corporate tenants, and their report is out now for everybody to see, the Global Wealth Advisory. This is called The Wealth Report, and thank you very much, Richard, for talking to us this morning.
Thank you. CliffCentral.com